Let's take a trip down the rabbit hole, shall we?
All right, so have you ever heard that saying, if I had more time, I would have written a shorter letter? It's so classic, right?
Yeah.
And people always say it was Mark Twain, you know, witty, concise prose, like all things Twain.
Oh, it's interesting because the quote actually goes back way further than Twain.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the earliest version we have is actually from Blaise Pascal.
Pascal?
Yeah, a 17th century mathematician and philosopher.
17th century, so.
Imagine that the quest for concise communication, it's not a new thing.
So this whole idea of keeping things simple, it's not just a modern thing then.
Not at all. John Locke and Benjamin Franklin, they were big on brevity as well.
Oh, wow. So
they saw it as a way to respect the reader's time and make sure the message really hit home.
They were like the original minimalists.
You could say that, yeah.
That's awesome.
The OG minimalists of communication.
I love that.
Yeah.
So this deep dive into simplicity, it's not just about, you know, decluttering our desks or organizing our inboxes.
Right.
Something bigger,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's tapping into like a timeless principle.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think especially today, you know, we're drowning in information, choices, notifications, all that stuff.
It's exhausting.
It is. It's totally exhausting.
Yeah.
So simplicity can kind of help us cut through all that noise and find clarity.
Like a mental detox?
Yeah, think of it like a mental detox for like the modern age.
So it's not just about aesthetics.
Right.
It's about functioning better in this world. It's just constantly vying for our attention.
Yeah, exactly. It's about how we think, how we feel, how we navigate the world around us.
Yeah.
And there's a guy, John Maeda.
Okay.
He's a designer and a tech expert. He wrote this book called The Laws of Simplicity.
Oh, cool.
And it's really cool. He goes way deeper than just like the visuals, you know?
Okay.
He explores like the cognitive and the emotional benefits of simplicity.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
How does he break it down?
So he lays out these 10 laws of simplicity, and each one kind of offers a different angle on how we can achieve simplicity in different areas of our lives.
All right. Let's unpack these laws.
All right. Let's do it.
What's the first one?
All right. So the first law is Reduce. And he basically says that the simplest way to achieve simplicity is by just getting rid of stuff.
Got
like
it.
Thoughtfully reducing, getting rid of anything that's unnecessary.
Okay, that makes sense. But how do we know what's unnecessary?
Right.
Like what to get rid of?
Yeah. So he uses this really cool example of a tea kettle.
Okay.
He compares a traditional Japanese kettle, which is like very sleek and minimal, you know, to one of those like clunky electric kettles with all the buttons and features. And
oh, yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
He's saying that the Japanese kettle, by just focusing on the core function.
Boiling water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It achieves this like elegance and efficiency that the feature packed one just can't match.
I can see that sometimes all those extra features,
right?
They just complicate things more than they need to be.
They do. It's about like figuring out what really matters and then just letting go of the rest.
So it's not just having less stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having the right stuff.
You got it.
Yeah.
And you can think about applying that to anything, your to-do list, your digital files.
Yeah, my computer desktop could definitely use some reducing.
Right. What can you get rid of to make more space for what really matters?
That's a great point.
Yeah.
So reduce is step one. What's number two?
So law number two is organize.
Organize. Okay.
And Maeda says that by organizing, we can actually make a complex system feel much simpler.
So if reduction is about like subtraction, organization is about making sense of what's left.
Exactly. It's about like creating a sense of order out of chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Think about the difference between like a junk drawer and a well-organized toolbox, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When things have a designated place, they're just so much easier to find and use.
I could really use some organization on my desk, let me tell you.
Me too. We all could. Yeah. But yeah, it's about creating systems that work for you, whether it's color coding your files, using a project management app, or even just like creating a morning routine.
Structure,
yeah.
Yeah.
Organization can bring a sense of calm and control to even like the most hectic days.
Makes sense. Okay, what's number three?
Number three is time.
Time.
And Maeda has this great line. He says, savings in time feel like simplicity.
I like that.
Yeah.
I feel that.
We're all so time crunched these days.
Yeah, so time crunch.
And this goes back to those historical figures we were talking about.
Right, yeah. Pascal, Locke, Franklin.
Exactly. They all valued conciseness as a way to save time.
Yep.
So when things are efficient, when they're streamlined, it just frees up so much mental space.
Yeah, and it reduces stress.
It does. Think about like navigating a website that loads instantly versus one that takes forever.
Oh, yeah.
The faster one just feels simpler.
It right? does. It's that feeling of relief when you find a shortcut or, you know, or a more efficient way to do something.
Exactly. And that could be anything. It could be automating a task.
Yeah.
Figuring out a faster commute or just learning to say no
to things you don't need to do.
Exactly. To commitments that are just draining your time.
I'm starting to realize that simplicity, it's not just about like minimalist aesthetics
right.
or decluttering.
It's deeper than that.
It's a deeper mindset about finding clarity and efficiency in everything we do.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Okay, what's next?
Law number four is learn.
Learn.
And this one might seem a little counterintuitive, but he says knowledge makes everything simpler.
Wouldn't learning more make things more complex, though?
You would think so.
So much information out there.
There is, but it's not about like cramming your brain with facts.
Right.
It's more about understanding the underlying principles of things.
Gotcha.
So think about it like learning to ride a bike.
Okay.
At first, it's this like wobbly, confusing mess of like balancing and pedaling. But once you get it.
You just get it.
It's effortless. You don't even think about it.
Yeah.
It's like second nature. And he's saying that the same goes for any field of knowledge.
Okay.
The more deeply you understand something, the easier it becomes to navigate all the complexities.
So investing the time to learn actually simplifies things in the long run.
Precisely. Whether you're mastering a new skill, learning a new topic, or even exploring a new city, the more you know, the less intimidating the unknown becomes.
It makes the world feel less overwhelming.
Right. It makes it feel more manageable.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's next?
Okay. So law number five is differences.
Differences.
And this one might surprise you.
Okay.
He argues that simplicity and complexity need each other.
Hold on. Wait, how can that be?
Right.
This sounds like a contradiction.
It does. You'd think we'd be trying to get rid of complexity.
Yeah.
But it's more about finding a balance.
Okay.
So imagine like a really beautifully composed photograph, right? It might have a simple subject, but within that simplicity, there are all these like subtle variations of light and shadow and texture that give it depth and interest.
So the complexity is actually enhancing the simplicity.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's adding like layers of interest.
I like that.
Think about music, you know? Yeah. A simple melody can be super powerful, but when you add harmonies and rhythms and variations, it becomes even more captivating.
I see it. So it's about finding that sweet spot where the simplicity provides the clarity.
Yeah.
But then the complexity is adding like a richness.
Exactly. You said it perfectly.
I'm seeing this apply to so many things.
It applies to everything.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Okay. What's next?
All right. So law number six is all about context.
It's context.
And Maida says that what surrounds the simplicity, what he calls the periphery, is actually really important.
What do you mean by periphery?
So think of it like a spotlight shining on a stage, right?
Okay.
The spotlight draws your attention to like the main subject, but the surrounding darkness, that's the periphery.
Mm-hmm. And that's what defines like the illuminated area.
So the context is actually shaping how we see what's simple.
Exactly. He says that we can't really understand simplicity without considering the context in which it exists.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. So imagine like a minimalist website.
Yeah.
It might have a clean design, lots of white space, very little text.
Yeah.
But the choice of font, the color palette, even just like the placement of elements, it all contributes to the overall message and feel.
Right.
Those seemingly peripheral details are actually super important in shaping the user experience.
Wow. I never thought about it like that.
Yeah, it's interesting, right?
So context is all about understanding all these subtle things that are shaping how we see simplicity.
Exactly. It's about paying attention to those details.
Yeah.
Even the ones that seem kind of insignificant at first.
This is making me think about how much we take for granted.
I know, right?
Okay, I'm ready for number seven.
All right, law number seven is emotion.
Emotion.
And his point is that more emotion is better than less. Wait, so shouldn't simplicity be about like calming things down?
Right.
Like reducing the emotional noise.
You would think so.
How do emotions fit into this?
Well, the thing is, we can't escape our emotions, right?
That's true.
They influence how we experience everything.
Yeah.
So really simple designs connect with us on an emotional level.
Okay.
Think about a product that you love, one that just feels right in your hand or evokes a positive feeling when you use it.
Yeah.
That's the power of emotional design.
So it's not about eliminating emotions.
Right.
It's about understanding and using them to make things better.
Yeah. Think about like a story that moves you to tears or a song that makes you want to dance.
Mm-hmm.
The simplicity of the message or the melody can actually be amplified by the emotion that it evokes.
Okay, so we're really going beyond just the surface level here.
We are, yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Law number 8 is all about trust.
Stress.
He says, in simplicity, we trust.
What's the connection there? Simplicity and trust.
So think about brands that are known for being simple, like Apple or Google.
Yeah.
Their products tend to be intuitive and easy to use and visually appealing.
Right.
And that creates a sense of trust.
Yeah.
Like a feeling that the product is going to work as expected and it's not going to let you down.
So simplicity can build confidence.
Absolutely. When something's too complex, too hard to understand, it creates doubt. It creates mistrust.
It makes you suspicious.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Simplicity, on the other hand, implies like transparency and honesty. It makes us feel more at ease.
I never thought about it that way.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah. So simplicity is not just about aesthetics or efficiency.
Right.
It's about building trust and fostering connections.
Yeah. It's about those human elements.
Yeah. This is really cool. Okay. What's number 9?
Number 9 might be a little humbling. It's failure.
Failure.
Yeah.
As in like, we're going to fail.
Well, he acknowledges that some things just can't be made simple.
Well, hold on. I thought that was the whole point of this.
I know, right?
Simplicity. What do you mean?
He's saying simplicity is incredibly valuable, but he's also a realist. Mm-hmm. And some things are just inherently complex.
Right.
And if you try to force them into a simple framework, it can actually do more harm than good.
I see. Okay. So can you give me an example of something that might defy simplification?
Sure. Imagine trying to oversimplify something like the human brain.
Oh, yeah.
Or the global economy.
Yeah.
You know, these are intricate systems.
Right.
With countless moving parts.
It'd be misleading to try to.
It would be, right.
Yeah.
So it's about knowing when to embrace the complexity and when to strive for simplicity.
So choosing the right tool for the job.
Exactly. So sometimes acknowledging that a situation is complex is actually the most simple approach.
Okay, so we got to stay flexible in our thinking.
We do.
Okay, last one. What's number 10?
Number 10 is the one.
The one, okay.
And he sums it up so beautifully. He says, simplicity is about subtracting the obvious and adding the meaningful.
I love that.
That's a good one.
Break that down for me. What does that actually mean?
So picture a room that's just overflowing with clutter.
Oh, yeah.
The obvious things to remove are the items you never use. The things that are broken, the things that just don't spark joy.
Okay.
So you're subtracting the obvious.
Right.
And then adding the meaningful is about bringing in the things that truly matter.
Okay. So what would that look like?
So it could be like a comfortable chair for reading, a plant to bring some life to the space.
Yeah.
Photos that remind you of loved ones.
Yeah.
You're curating your environment to reflect what's most important to you.
It's not just about minimalism.
Right.
It's about intentionality.
It is. It's about creating a space that supports your well-being.
Yeah.
And reflects your values.
This is beautiful. I love this.
And this applies to more than just physical spaces. It's about subtracting those obvious distractions in your life, the commitments that drain your energy, the negative thoughts that hold you back.
And replacing them with.
With the meaningful.
Yeah.
The relationships that nourish you, the activities that bring you joy.
Yeah.
The goals that inspire you.
This is so inspiring. I'm ready to start simplifying right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But before we go any further, how do we actually put all this into practice?
Right.
Like these are great concepts, but how do we use them in our daily lives? So many great ideas, but like, where do we even start with all this?
Well, we were just talking about learning.
Yeah.
Maybe we could start there.
Perfect. Because I'm always trying to learn new things.
Yeah.
But I feel like I'm always drinking from a fire hose, you know?
Yeah.
There's just so much information.
There is. And that's where Maeda's law of reduction comes in.
Okay.
You know, instead of trying to absorb a whole book at once.
Right.
What if you break those complex topics down into smaller chunks?
That's a good idea. I always try to take on too much at once.
Yeah. And it's like
trying to eat the whole cake.
Yeah, exactly. In one bite.
Yeah. And don't forget about organization.
Yeah.
That's law number 2. You know, taking notes, highlighting key points.
Mm-hmm.
Reading summaries. Those are all simple but effective ways to process information.
So it's not just about passively taking in information.
Right.
It's about actively engaging with it.
Exactly.
And finding ways to make it meaningful.
Yes. And remember context.
Right.
Law number six.
Yeah.
The environment you learn in is super important.
It is.
Find a quiet space free from distractions.
Yeah.
Where you can really focus, maybe put on some music, light a candle, whatever helps you create that space.
I love those ideas. I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about work?
Yeah.
My to-do list is a mile long. My inbox is overflowing. There's always a new project popping up. It's chaos.
Time.
Yeah.
That's law number three. It's crucial here. You got to look at your daily tasks.
Mm-hmm.
Are there things you can delegate?
Yeah.
Can you automate anything? Delegation is definitely something I need to get better at.
It's hard. It's a common trap.
I feel like I have to do everything myself.
Yeah. You don't have to be a superhero.
But maybe I do.
No.
Okay. No, you're right.
And while you're thinking about delegating, remember, reduce.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Law number one, are there meetings you could say no to?
Yeah.
Projects you could politely decline?
Mm.
Being strategic about your commitments frees up a ton of time and energy.
It's so easy to get caught up in busy work and just lose sight of the big picture. You know,
yeah.
It's like we're all on this treadmill of tasks and no one's asking, like, why am I even running?
I love that analogy. It's about stepping off the treadmill every now and then.
Yeah.
And just reevaluating those priorities.
Yeah. And speaking of priorities,
yeah.
Organization, we can't forget that
we can't.
A well-organized workspace can do wonders for productivity.
Oh, for sure.
When my desk is a mess, my brain is a mess.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tackle that inbox.
Yeah.
I'm ready. But beyond work and learning,
yeah.
How can we use these laws to simplify, like, life in general?
Remember law number 10.
The one.
Think about subtracting the obvious things that are cluttering your life.
Okay.
Physical clutter, toxic relationships, negative thoughts.
It's like a full life declutter.
It is. And then adding the meaningful.
Okay. What would that look like?
Prioritizing the things that bring you joy, relationships that nourish you, the activities that make you feel alive, like spending time in nature.
Yeah.
Pursuing a creative hobby, volunteering, or just laughing with loved ones, whatever it is. Make time for those things.
This is a good reminder.
Yeah.
Simplicity is not about deprivation.
No, not at all.
It's about creating space for what matters most.
Exactly. It's about designing a life that feels spacious and intentional.
Yes.
And aligned with your values.
I love it. Okay, so we've talked about learning, work, and life.
Yeah.
But are there any other tips?
Well, remember law number four.
Yeah.
Learn. It's not just about specific knowledge. It's about a mindset. Stay curious. Keep exploring new ideas. Be open to different perspectives. The more you learn, the better you'll be at seeing the world through that lens of simplicity.
So it's a process.
It is. Yeah, it's ongoing.
It's like a muscle we have to keep working out.
Exactly. And speaking of working out, remember law number eight.
Trust.
Trust your intuition. Trust yourself to figure out what's truly important. Trust that this process of simplifying, even when it feels messy, will lead you to a good place.
This is eye-opening. I'm feeling inspired.
Good.
I want to embrace the power of less.
Yes.
Before we wrap up, though,
yeah.
Can we go back to that quote, if I had more time, I would have written a shorter letter?
Yeah, it is very fitting, isn't it?
It is.
And you know, the fact that it's so often misattributed,
yeah.
It actually highlights another interesting point about simplicity.
Oh, tell me. I love the interesting points.
Well, the quote's popularity, regardless of who said it first,
right.
Really shows how much we all crave these simple, memorable expressions.
That's so true. It's like a law of simplicity in itself.
It is.
Concise messages are just sticky.
They are. Think about slogans, proverbs, even those jingles from commercials.
Right. Yeah.
They're all examples of how powerful simplicity can be.
Yeah.
When it comes to making a message impactful.
Okay. I see it.
Yeah.
So next time I'm writing a novel length email, I'm going to channel my inner Pascal.
There you go.
Yeah. Clarity, conciseness, impact. Less is more.
Exactly.
This has been a really thought-provoking deep dive.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a whole new understanding of what simplicity means.
Good.
It's not just about having less stuff.
Right.
It's about making room for what really matters.
You got it.
I feel like my brain just got a major upgrade.
Like a declutter.
Yeah.
Made space for what matters.
Exactly. And speaking of memorable phrases.
Yeah.
There's another one that comes to mind. It's not as eloquent as Pascal's letter, but it definitely gets the point across.
Let's hear it.
Keep it simple, stupid.
The KISS principle.
Yeah, it's a little harsh.
It is.
But it works.
It gets the job done.
I always thought it was kind of a modern saying.
You know, it's funny you say that. It actually has roots in the 1960s U.S. Navy.
With the Navy? Well, really?
Yeah.
What were they trying to simplify?
Well, they were really focused on designing systems that were easy to use and maintain.
Okay.
Even in really high pressure situations.
I can see that. Imagine being on a submarine.
Exactly.
Or an aircraft carrier.
You don't want to be fumbling with a complicated system when things get critical.
So keep it simple, stupid, was like a life-saving principle.
In a way, yeah.
Oh.
And it goes way beyond the military, whether you're designing a website,
right,
writing a report, even explaining something complex to a child.
Yeah.
The goal is always clarity and ease of understanding.
It's like that quote we started with. Concise communication just makes things better.
Exactly. It's all about good design.
No matter what you're designing.
It all comes back to simplicity.
Pascal, tea kettles, the KISS principle.
It all boils down to the same thing.
Yeah.
Simplicity makes our lives better.
This has been so insightful.
Good. I'm glad.
I feel like I have a whole new toolkit for dealing with complexity.
And remember, it's a journey.
It is.
It's ongoing. It's about making those daily choices,
mm-hmm,
those little tweaks that bring more clarity and ease into your life.
So for our listeners who are ready to embrace simplicity, what's one thing they can do today to get started?
Take a moment to think about that last law, the one.
Okay.
Ask yourself, what's one obvious thing I can subtract from my life?
Okay.
To make space for something meaningful, it could be a physical item, mm-hmm, a commitment, a negative thought,
right,
anything that's not serving you.
And then what?
Once you've figured out what to subtract, ask yourself, what's one meaningful thing I can add?
Okay.
What would bring me joy, energy, purpose?
Yeah.
It could be simple, like taking a walk in nature.
Right.
Calling a friend, finally starting that creative project you've been putting off.
I love that challenge.
Yeah.
Declutter the mind. Make space for what matters.
Exactly. Simplicity isn't about deprivation.
No.
It's about creating space for what truly nourishes you.
This has been such a great deep dive. So much to think about.
It has been fun.
Yeah. And remember, everyone, while the acronym might not be the most sophisticated, the wisdom behind Keep It Simple, Stupid is anything but. It's a timeless reminder that clarity, conciseness, and intentionality are the keys to a simpler and more fulfilling life.
Reduce, organize, simplify. Less is more. Open your eyes. Let go of what you don't need. Find the meaning. Plant the seed. Simplicity, a quiet grace. A gentle peace in time and space. Embrace the calm, the open door. Less is more, forevermore. Knowledge guides us, helps us see the beauty in simplicity. Trust the process, let it flow. Subtract the obvious, let meaning grow. Simplicity, a quiet grace. A gentle peace in time and space. Embrace the calm, the open door. Less is more, forevermore.